church. Come on, let's give Jesus a great big hand today. Come on, I'm so excited to be here with you. Many of you here, I have not had the opportunity to introduce myself. My name is Rick Paladin, lead pastor of Bridge City Church, and I am just so amped to be here at the White Oak campus this morning. And I believe God has something special for you. How many of y'all believe that? Listen, on your seat, there's a couple cards here. I want you to get these cards. I want you to hold them in your hand. Actually, I want you to hold them in your hand the whole time I preach the word to you this morning. Okay, you got to hold them in your hands. I want them in your hands. Okay, if you're a note taker, you can put them in your opposite hand you write. But I don't know if you know this or not. This is our last official 9 a.m. worship time here at Bridge City Church White Oak. And the times are changing, and they're changing next week. So I don't know if you know this, but big events, like if you attend like a big event, like you all remember Three River Stadium, like if you were at the last event there, that ticket stub is worth a lot. This is your ticket stub. This is worth a lot here. Come on. You're at the last ever, so you get to have this, but we want you to know about the new times here. I'm going to speak to this today, but this is really, really important. You need to hold this in your hand. The other one is an invitation I'm going to refer to in just a little bit here, and I want to help you see this morning. I want to help you see. You know, sometimes we see, but we don't see. You know, many of our messages here at Bridge City Church are about helping you personally, helping you with freedom in your life, helping you learn to be a devoted follower of Jesus, which this is helping immensely to that. But this is really more about the people that you live around, more about the people you work with, more about the people in our surrounding area. Because, you know, sometimes we need that tension in our life of realizing what we see and what we don't see. So I tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to count to three, and there's going to be a picture that's going to pop up on the screen behind me. And I want you to yell out to me what you see first when you look at this picture. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? You still got your invite. You got your cards? Everybody got their cards, okay? Okay, so I'm going to count to three, and you got to yell it out, okay? One, two, three. Llama. Okay, yeah. Okay, how many of y'all see a donkey? Raise your hand. Okay, that means you need to get on a team to serve. Okay. How many of y'all see a seal? Where's the seal people? Where's the seal people? Okay, you're the fun ones. Okay, you're the fun ones. You see the seal? You got to look at it, right? See, whatever you see first is kind of what you focused on, right? You saw it, and it just became that. Am I right? These are ambiguous pictures. So they say a lot about your inner. I'm just kidding. They really don't say anything about you. I'm just having fun. Okay, I'm going to do another one here. I'm going to count to three, and you're going to yell out what you see first. One, two, three. Candlestick, vase. Two people. Do you see two people? How many? Is there two people? Okay, that means you in desperate need of a connection group. Okay, you got to get to group. Okay, if you see two people, that's your inner self saying, "I need connection in your life." Okay, how many of y'all see a vase or a candlestick, something like that? Okay, you're the ones you need to get to prayer. Okay, that's the incense unto the Lord. That's what you need. But how many of y'all know that there's two pictures here, right? But the first one you see is what you typically focus on, but we miss the other picture if that's where you stop. Am I right? Now, I was having a conversation this morning with Emmanuel, who plays piano. Where's he at? Where'd he go? Here, he's over here. And I asked him a question. I said, "Hey, why do you sit down to play the piano?" And he said, "Well," he goes, "have you ever seen anybody play a baby grand piano standing up?" And I said, "Bro, that's not a baby grand piano. I'm not a smart man, but I got that figured out." And but he said, what he was saying was, I said, "This is interesting. Like when I look up here, I see a keyboard. But when he looks up here, because he's skilled and he looks at it completely different than I look at it." See, so often in life, we look at church and we look at things because that's the way we see it, rather than seeing that there's something else going on behind. See, today, everything I want to share with you today is about there's something else going on. What we see is we're on the second floor of some old building in White Oak. How many of y'all see that? Don't raise your hand. Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, that's what I see. Yeah, what are you doing here? Yeah, Pastor Nick is like, who did that? That's not me. But that's easy to see, right? Because it's not a typical church. It's not a typical expression, right? But when you got in and you saw it for yourself, it's like, I like it here. How many of y'all like it here? How many of y'all, it's growing on you, but you're not quite there? Come on, yeah. Okay, Pastor Nick's looking around again, like, okay. Yeah. But it depends on how we fix our eyes on things. So I want to give you a verse here, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Seen, unseen, temporary, eternal. It all depends on where you fix your gaze. Where are we fixing our eyes to look at here? This is more than the second floor of some old building. This is where God's people get equipped to get sent out. They find freedom. Come on, somebody. Amen. They get healed from their past. Come on, somebody. Is anybody in that group? Come on. Yeah. See, you get changed and transformed. But it depends on where you fix your eyes here. God has a movement going on. Let me just give you some examples of this. Every month, we receive money. We call it Kingdom Builders, which is just a fancy way of saying we're going to give this money away to missions endeavors nationally, internationally, and locally. I think that's a big deal to God, okay? But so we receive this money, and I say, oh, okay, there's an offering. Here we go. But I want you to know that we've given over $157,000 away this year, okay? Now, why am I bringing that up? Because I want you to see that we want to be known more for what God is doing outside of here than just here. See, but none of us really had that in our mind. Some of us are thinking, that's a lot of money. I heard the Lord speak. How many of y'all? I hear God whispering. He's behind this message. That's what I heard. Okay, that's what I'm perceiving here. But that's a really big deal. Now, we did a Pittsburgh missions trip just here at White Oak. This is how many people served. 57 from the White Oak campus went out and did 2-3 days of serving around here. I think that's a big deal. Okay, short-term missions trips, year-to-date, this is just this year, we had 33 people, go on a short-term missions trip. I think that's a big deal. Come on. See, I'm trying to show you something. See, sometimes we see, but we only see how it affects me rather than it affects the kingdom of God and what's going on. Are you good? Okay. Now, here's something else. I don't know if you know this or not, but salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is kind of a big deal. How many of y'all think it's a big deal? I think it's a big deal. So just right here at Bridge City Church, White Oak, 102 people crossed the bridge and made a decision for Jesus Christ. That's just this year. That's just this year. I think that's a big deal. And then 49 people baptized so far this year. Come on, how many? I think that's a big deal. See, but if we're not careful, it's just going to become like what I see and what I want. Because, listen, we're a missions-minded church. We're a gospel-oriented church. We're a church on mission. But I don't know. I think all of us are pretty much the same. I'm going to put myself first here. We all tend to get selfish at times. Am I right? I want what I want. I like it the way I like it. I want this. I want that. And we miss what's going on because when you're all wrapped up in yourself, you can't see real well. Are you with me? See, so God wants us to fix our gaze on something. He wants us to lift up our eyes. And so that's why we're doing this. What's the point? What's the point? What's the point? You got it in your hands, right? You got to have it in your hand. Come on. I want your hand to cramp up by the time I'm done. Come on. No, and what this is an invitation. And before we're done today, there's going to be somebody, they're going to come up and teach us how to, and I'm going to say us, teach us how to like send out a text and invite all your friends. And you're going to take this and you're going to invite as many people as you can to next week. That's what we're going to invite you. Invite many people as you can to hear Jesus for themselves. I think that's a big deal. I think where you live is a big deal. I think where you work is a big deal. I think where you go to school is a big deal. Are you with me now? And so I'm going to do everything I can in the next moments together to get you to invite somebody. And I want you to hold this. I want you to think about that person. The other things that we're going to be doing over the next 6 months, it's going to take us about 6 months to unroll it. We're going to be doing a better discipleship pathway so we can grow more people in their faith in Jesus. I think that's a big deal. How about you? And then we're gonna get better. We're going to continue to get better at a leadership pipeline so we can train more people so they can help the hurting. And they can help the helpless and the harassed find hope in Jesus Christ. And we can get more leaders. How many of you know that's a big deal? Okay, look at your neighbor and say, that's a big deal. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, you're going to like it. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then we got these three times coming up. We got these three times coming up. 8, 9, 30, 11. I'm going to tell you right away, not about 80 to 90% of the people in this room right now automatically said, what's best for me? Come on. Yeah, thank you. We had one person telling the truth and shame the devil. Come on, somebody. Yeah. That's right. What makes it work for me? And now 89% of the people are going to want to come to 9:30 because that's the most convenient. But we're not here to make it convenient. If you're a disciple, how many disciples are here today? How many disciples of Jesus? Okay, this is how I know you're a disciple, because you're irritated, interrupted, and inconvenienced. No, because everybody's going to want to go here, and so we're going to invite you to go one of the other ones, unless you invited somebody that said they can only come at 9:30, then you can come and sit with them. Because everybody's going to want to do that. And you can't do what everybody else wants to do. You got to do what Jesus wants you to do. Because this is about him. It's not about us. Are you with me? That's how you know you're becoming a disciple. Okay? I'm trying to give you a picture today. Are you seeing? Are you seeing? You got to see it here. This is what we're doing here. Now, how many of y'all know that, like, when you're driving, have you ever been, like, in traffic and there's a lot of cars pulling out? And you're pulling out. How many of y'all know that, like, the last thing you want to do is get eye contact with that person? Right? Because as soon as you see a person, you're moved with compassion, most of the time. Some of you are still believing. No, I'm serious. See, this is the same with the gospel. See, like when a car is pulling out, if you don't notice the person, they're a car trying to get in front of you and keep you from what you're supposed to do. Am I right or wrong? But the moment you see a person, it's no longer a car, it's a person. And so when you get eye contact with the person, something changes inside of you. See, we can't just see church. We got to see people. We got to see persons. We got to see one another, because what's the big picture? This is all about the big picture of Jesus Christ now. And I want to see the way Jesus sees. How many of y'all would like to see the way Jesus sees? Come on. Okay. Again, the rest of you, you're trying to work it out. Come on. Okay, so we're going to look at a story in John 4. And in John 4, there's a lot of verses. I'm going to catch you up on 30 verses. Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and Jesus got thirsty. Jesus got thirsty. His disciples went to look for food. He's sitting by a well in Samaria, in a real place called Samaria. He is a Jew. Jews and Samaritans did not talk. As a matter of fact, they hated one another. There was the biggest racial divide you could ever imagine. Okay? There was a racial divide between Jews and Samaritans. Hated one another. Detest one another. You didn't talk to those people. That's right. I said it. Those people. No, I'm trying to give you a picture. I really am. I'm trying to give you a picture of those people. And so he strikes up a conversation with the woman. And it's interesting that Jesus, right here in this picture, he overcame all racial tension. Come on, somebody. And he started talking to a woman. Yeah, that was a miracle. No, it was like, you didn't do that. So he overcame this racial bias and gender bias right there. He was leading the way for us. See, many people come to me and they say, Pastor, if Christianity holds women back, it's all about men, it doesn't do anything for women. You haven't read the Bible. Because Jesus did more for women than any other world religion out there. No, read the word. He did. As a matter of fact, if you want a book on the woman's real, pure, holy movement, read the Bible. No, I'm serious. I'm giving you a different way to think today. So you got to fix your eyes different. People empowered, released, freed. That's what Jesus did. And so he's speaking here, and he said something about the woman's husband. And basically, she's like, oh, I'm not married. He says, you're right. You've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with, is not your husband. How many of y'all know when you're talking to Jesus, that's not a good thing right there? No, I'm being honest. Like, what he's like, oh, because right away, shame, guilt, that didn't bother Jesus. He didn't say, oh. Jesus knew it the whole time. As a matter of fact, when he said, you've been married 5 times and you're living with a guy right now you're not married to, she was like, you're a prophet. He was a prophet. He was speaking right to her heart. He was speaking to her. He was speaking right here. He didn't ostracize her. He didn't push her away. He was engaged. He was like, oh, speaking to her about living water. Are you up to date on the story now? Okay, here we go. Here we go. So just then in verse 27, John 4, the disciples came back and they were shocked to find out he was talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask. This proves that the Bible is real. Because you just see him there walking back going, who's he talking to? He's talking to some woman. You ask him. I ain't asking him. You ask him. No, this is really what's going on. Now, come on, put yourself there, okay? What do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? And so the woman left her water jar beside the well, and she ran back to the village full of shame and guilt and pain. No, she ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? She was excited. She was excited. This is how you know you met Jesus. You get excited. Amen. You know, when you meet Jesus, you get excited. It's like, oh, he knows all about me, but he loves me anyhow. Am I right? He knows my sin, but he doesn't push me away. He draws him to himself. This is the Jesus we're talking about here. And so she went and told everybody. So she took her invitation off the seat because it was by the well. And then she took pictures of it, and she sent it to everybody in the village. She said, you got to come hear this guy. You got to come know this Jesus. Come on, that's what she did right here. Come on, how many of you got your invitation? You got your invitation. Come on. Come on. You got it? You got it in your hand? Come on. Here we go. So verse 30. So the people came streaming into the village. The people start flooding in. I mean, everybody from the village was like, we know this woman. If she's telling us something good about this Messiah, we want to go see it. Are you with me? And so here it is. The disciples are standing there. They're all there. And they're looking, they're going, oh, look at all these people coming. And then one of the disciples looks and says, hey, that's somebody from Glassport. I think I went to school with them. And another guy over here, he's like, hey, I know them. I invited them. They're from Monroeville, where all the beautiful people are from. And then two other disciples are like, get out of the way. Oh, White Oak is like flooding in. Oh, my goodness, look, they have invitations from the Memorial Day Parade. And then there's people that have McKeesport Tigers shirts on from McKeesport, and they're coming in. And then there's Elizabeth Forward. And then there's another disciple said, oh, they're even coming from Irwin, from North Huntington, the uttermost parts of the earth. And they says, look, there's East McKeesport and North for Sales. They're coming from everywhere. They're streaming in. Can you see it? See, this is what's going on. And so this is a holy moment. But look at what happens in verse 31. Meanwhile, everybody's streaming in, and the disciples were urging Jesus, hey, Rabbi, let's go to Plaza Azteca. Rabbi, you want to go there? Or Luciano's? There's all these people coming. Let's just go to lunch. Listen, when people are coming and they're flooding in and streaming in, don't be the disciple that's too concerned with lunch. Right. Did you get that? Don't be that guy. Okay? And then the disciples urged Jesus, Rabbi, mind, Rabbi. And Jesus replied, I have the kind of food you know nothing about. I have something. And they just said, did somebody bring him a sandwich? Did somebody bring him that chipped ham? Did somebody bring a ham barbecue sandwich? That's what they're immediately going, what's he talking about? See, there's something beautiful going on, and all they're going to do is they're concerned about food. Are you with me? They're just concerned about food. They're like, all this stuff is going on. And did somebody bring them food? What's going on? They couldn't figure out why. Because they had their eyes fixed on the wrong thing. Something was going on. They got fixated on food. Jesus is fixated on people. Are you with me? Come on. Yeah. And then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me, from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. Everybody say these words with me. Come on, roll out.
Wake up and look around.
One more time.
Wake up and look around.
Yeah. The fields are ready, ripe unto harvest. And this was a saying. It was a common saying. For Jews in this day, that when you said 4 months, what he was saying is stop procrastinating. You're putting something off. How many of you are so good at procrastination, you procrastinate your procrastination? Yeah, come on. What Jesus was saying is you keep saying there's time. It's not time. The time is now, Jesus is saying. White Oak. Pastor Nick, Rachel, doing a great job. Jeez, Matilda. Wow. And there's people streaming, and there's something going on. But if we just look with our natural eyes, we're going to miss what God is doing. And we're going to get so consumed about our meal, we're going to miss him. That's what he's saying here. Procrastination's a problem. There's lives changed. It's ripe for harvest. There's change. And so in verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman. No, you're supposed to get excited. Come on. About that woman. No, you got that one, right? Oh, that woman. Who told me? And he told me everything he did. And then look what happened. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. What we want people to do is not just hear Pastor Nick and I. We want people to hear Jesus because he's the one, the big difference maker. Come on, somebody. See, so we bring people here so that they'll hear and meet Jesus in a very real way. Not just that they'll have cool music, although I like cool music a lot better than uncool music, but what I'm trying to say to you is that they'll hear Jesus. Are you with me? See, but if we miss this, it just becomes about my music, not what matters to God. Wow. We all, listen, let me just try to say, if you were to... There's like 8.2 billion people on the planet. And only about 2.4 billion claim Christianity. If you were to line up everybody heel to toe, 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 that doesn't know Jesus yet. And we would go to the fattest part of the globe, the biggest part of the globe. In line, everybody to go around. 5.8 billion people. They would go around the globe, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five, not six. They would keep going around the globe if we were to line up everybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ yet. They would go around the globe 44.5 times around the globe. Those are real people. real people. And I know what you're saying. We can't fit 5.8 billion people at the White Oak campus. But we can fit your friends. And we can make room for the people you work with. And we can make room for what God is doing. So you're right. We can't do that, but we can do our part. I started looking at the numbers in White Oak and in McKeesport and Elizabeth Ford, and Irwin and North Huntington. I started looking at all the surrounding areas, and I just started getting too overwhelmed with the amount of people. And we're right, we can't reach everybody, but we can reach your friends. Because they're real people with a destiny. Because we believe in a real heaven and a real hell. And you can't say, yeah, the big picture is I believe in a real heaven and a real hell and only just do things that please me. Because all of us start going to church, and this is what happened. We come to church, and we fall in love with the church of right where it was when we start coming. It's like marriage. You fall in love with that person when you met them. The problem is things change. Is anybody here married? Am I right? Things change. And if you don't change and you don't be transformed on a regular basis, you're going to get stuck in the past. And you're going to miss what God's doing. So we can't get in love with the way things used to be. We got to get in love with the way Jesus wants them to be. We got to fix our gaze. Are you with me this morning? I want to see what Jesus sees. So how do we wake up and look around? I'm going to help you now. This is the practical way I can get. I'm holding my invitation. I'm holding my times here. And how do we wake up and look around? We open our eyes to where they are. Where are they? Where are the they? They're where you live. They're where you work. They're where your families, your friends here. Come on. Divine appointment. You don't find this word divine appointment in the Bible, actually. But let me give you an example of a divine appointment. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Some of y'all need this verse right here. If you don't hear anything else, God delights in you. He has put you where he wants you to be. And it's not a trick. It's not a cruel trick. He puts you. And then another concept, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. How about we just say, God, just direct my steps. Everywhere you want me to go, I'm going to go. Is that good? See, we're going to look. See, something changes. Something changes when we start serving God because you can tell something changes. There's like an antenna goes up to people. Even introverts, you start caring about people different. Because it's not out of personality, it's out of spirituality. See, you start seeing people different. Where are they? I'm going to tell you where they are. They're where you are. How many of you go grocery shopping? How many of you just do Instacart? You don't just, okay, very good. I see those hands, yeah. Okay, yeah. But you go somewhere, right? How many of y'all ever eat out? Okay. How many of you ever leave your house at all? Come on, ever, yeah. That's where they are. That's where they are. So we got to say, God, open my eyes to see where they are here. I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm trying to get better. I really am. I'm trying to get better to see people where they are. I really, really am. I'm saying, God, show me where people are. Show me wherever I am, you are. Let me be engaged in the moment. Okay, next, second one, open your eyes. We're going to wake up, open our eyes to who they are. Who they are. I don't know if you know this or not, but our world is full of hate. Do you live in the world I live? It's full of divisive hate. Whoever's loudest, whoever complains the most, whoever just thinks they can get on social media and just vomit nonstop. See, we live in a world that everybody's picking sides, and we need to stop picking sides. Now, I thought that was really good. I think we need to stop picking sides. No, I'm serious. I think we just need to get on Jesus' side. He broke down every barrier. Every barrier he broke down. Every one. He even broke down barriers that I kind of like. I'm confessing my sin to you. That's what I'm doing. There are certain ones I think are, he breaks them down. He does every time. And so who they are, we got to stop seeing them as Republican or Democrat or this or that or church or unchurched or this church or that church or black or white or this cause or that cause. And how about we just see people? People. We are called to forgive and love and see differently. And whenever we make our issue bigger than the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are not seeing correctly. We're not seeing correctly when we make all those other issues more important. Then Jesus, he saw the crowds, he saw them streaming in, and he had compassion because they were harassed and helpless. What we see is they probably deserve it. They're making bad decisions. Jesus didn't see that, did he? Harassed and helpless, and they need a they need somebody to shepherd them and care for them. They need people like you and people like me to care. Are you with me? That's what Jesus is saying. To reach people far from God, you don't have to be, you don't have to be like them, but you do have to like them. Stop trying to be like them and just like them. Last months and months, I've been trying to be more aware of people around me. And in the tennis world, every now and then I get with people that are very, very, very different than me. I'll leave it at that. And it's very obvious. But I changed my perspective. I can say I'm doing a really, really good job at like engaging people. Not out of, I'm Pastor Rick, or I'm the religious one. I've been just engaging people out of, like, they're real people. And I'm engaging people very different with huge different ideologies than me, and I'm loving it. And I'm just asking questions and learning to love them and learning to, be around them, and it's no big deal. I don't become like them, but I like them. See that? See, many people say, well, I got to be like them. No, you don't. You know? But I like them, and they like me, and I get emails like, hey, a group of us are going, like, some crazy place. Like, you want to come? And I'm like, I can't do that, okay? I can't be like that. But I still like you, and you're cool, and I'm looking forward to next time we play tennis together because I'm looking at who they are and who they could be to Jesus. Okay, last but not least, open your eyes to what they need. Open your eyes to, everybody say, what they need. What they need. What they need. They need people that love God. Jesus said, one of the biggest things, he said, people will know you're my follower. They'll know you're my follower by what? By the way you love one another. Right? The way you love one another. Breaks my heart to see so many churches just not loving one another. How about we love one another? Churches are not our competition. Hell is our competition. That's our competition, and it will always be. And that's why we take this serious with a lot of intention. Are you with me? And why are we trying to do three times to worship God? And why are we getting involved with this? I'm going to tell you why. Because people matter to God. In the big picture of God, we see with his perspective. So I got to see where they are and who they are and what they need. And what they need is people that love Jesus and their lives have been transformed, that we don't have perfect lives. We have broken lives. We have hurting lives. But God is healing us all together. See, how about that? Because if you're looking for a perfect church, this ain't it. Because as soon as I came, it was over. Right? Some of you really, you got that one. Yeah. Yeah, no, but come on, am I right? But we work together and we love God and we're going to honor God. We're going to honor what he says in this word, and we're going to open up our eyes, open up the word of God and receive the peace of God in a great, awesome way. Are you with me this morning? Come on, if you're excited about Jesus, just stand to your feet right where you are here. God knows, he sees, he cares. I want to just stop a moment here. I just want to share one thing, and then I'm going to give you a great invitation. Or, matter of fact, I'm going to give you an invitation first. If you're here today and you're at, God feels far away. He feels far away. Or maybe you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you met Jesus Christ. When you met Him. When His words changed you. Not that you heard a message like this preached, but His words changed you. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time, Bridge City Church is all about not just praying a prayer, but becoming who He's created us to be. But I want to offer you today, if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, and you've never received His love and His forgiveness, you can receive it right here, right now, right in this room. And I want you, I'm asking you right now, if you don't have that day, that moment, that time where Jesus Christ changed your life and He forgave you, He forgave you for your sins, I want today to be that day for you. That's what I want. So if that's you today and you want today to be the day Jesus Christ forgives you of your sin and you become a follower of Him, just like that woman, you left her water pot at the well and she went and she left with joy and with peace and with the one who engaged her and loved her and encountered her. If that's you today, and man, you would like this to be your day where you begin that relationship, I want you to do something bold yet so joyful. I just want you to just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me today. Is there anybody in the house today that says, you know what? Anybody at all? Thank you so much. Come on, keep your hand up there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Anybody here? Come on, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, if you raised your hand, I'm going to be something bold right now. I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and make your way to the back. There's going to be a friendly person that used breath mints, and they're going to greet you back there. And they just want to pray with you. They're not going to put you on the spot because we want to treat you as a person. We want to value you as a real person. We want to value people the way Jesus values them. So just make your way out of your seats and make your way to the back right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's going to greet you there. Come on, just thank the Lord Jesus. Come on, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, I want you to stay standing. Stay standing just for a moment. Now, I want to give the White Oak campus a challenge here. Pastor Nick is doing a really super great job at leading this.